Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
Welcome again to Esprit.net News. On this program, we're still in Black History Month, so we're going to talk the Million Man March and Disney's Black Panther, because now that it's number one at the box office, it is now officially, a Black History. Well, it was going to be a Black History moment anyway, but since they're number one, it's another reason to celebrate. Now, Russian hackers also targeted MSNBC's Joy Reid, or Joy Ann Reid, and Ford executive leaves over inappropriate behavior, Enterprise, Alamo, and National Car Rental companies are ending their discounts for NRA members. We have that this week in court and much more. So I want to welcome you on to the show. Again, you listen to Esprit.net News. We're always live at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to check us out live, every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. And you can call in live 909-265-9189 if you'd like to join the program, or if you want to just listen, if you're listening to this in archives, you can download us on iTunes, or you can go to espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com and check out some more of our shows. All right, in the words of my girl, Lucy Abreu, there's always news that you can use. Now, before we go to our first story, because I'd usually say now our first story, but welcome to Black History Month. Now, October 16th, 1995, Nation of Islam's leader, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, called over 100 black men, together in Washington, D.C. for a day of atonement and reconciliation. The day called for black men to take charge of their lives and communities by showing respect for themselves and devotion to their families. So if you're not familiar with the Million Man March or the Day of Atonement, October 16th every year. But it started in 1995, and bear witness, there was over a million people there. Plus, you know, D.C. Transit said that they made $1.2 million in ticket sales in the three stops in the mall, and all of the government offices were closed, and there was an estimated 40,000 buses. So don't take my word for it. Look it up and find out how much D.C. Transit made on October 16th, 1995. Yeah, $1.2 million. And plus the Howard students marched over and some other folks. But, you know, just in the nature of Black History Month, we need to talk about how great a day that is. And by the way, you know, I just recently talked to someone about that. Someone I never met, and he happened to, you know, ask me if I went because he was there. And we both said that still, as long ago as that was, we still don't have any words to explain or to describe the Million Man March. That's how big and impactful it was. So, you know, Black History Month. Now, Disney's Black Panther, it's Marvel's, but Disney owns Marvel now, but Disney's Black Panther claimed the top spot of the North American box office this weekend, and is set for we know the numbers now. It wasn't, you know, I'm kind of speaking like it didn't happen, but it already happened. $243 million debut over that four-day President's Day holiday. Worldwide, $426 million that movie bought in. The action-packed film is directed by Ryan Coogler, who also received the honor of the fifth largest three-day domestic opening in history. That's according to Box Office Mojo. And the film is number one openings in October, in the winter, President's Day releases, and the largest Monday opening with 40 million plus, and the largest Thursday in February. There you go. So those are all number one. So that's not a Black History Month. It's number one across the board. But beyond those charts, Black Panther placed second only to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and is the second highest four-day gross of all times and the second largest Sunday of all times, just by only $485,000. Now, it debuted in 4,020 theaters. Now, Black Panther's per theater average for the three-day weekend was a massive $50,000, $50,250. It's the third largest ever. Even more eye-opening, Black Panther theater count was the smallest among the top 15 openings of all time, and the second to The Furious Five in the top 25, which is directed by F. Gary Gray, by the way. And it's also the largest, the opening in IMAX history. They made about $35 million with Black Panther. And internationally, despite not debuting in China, which is going to be on March 9th, Japan and March 1st, and in Russia sometime in March, the film still delivered the 15th largest worldwide debut of all time. Now, the film also posted the highest gross February opening all time in the UK and Ireland. Now, the Netherlands also 2.4 million, Mexico 9.2 million, Brazil 9.5 million, Colombia 1.8 million. South Korea debut was over $25 million. So, it is overwhelming, and overwhelming success, and it's a really good movie if you don't get a chance to see it. But, I'm starting off the show and taking my time. We're talking about Black Panther because it broke so many records and deserved that. Now, director Ryan Coogler actually wrote a thank you. He said that it's still humbling to me think that people care enough to spend their money and time watching our film, but to see people of all backgrounds wearing clothing that celebrates their heritage, taking pictures next to our posters with their friends and family, and sometimes dancing in the lobby of the theaters, we know you talk about, often moved me and my wife to tears, is what Coogler wrote. And he said, never in a million years did we imagine that you would come out so strong or this strong. P.S. Wakanda forever, is Ryan Coogler. So, again, congratulations to the cast and the crew and everybody for Black Panther. It is a great movie. If you get a chance to see it, go see it. Now, our first news story, well, that was also news, but here we go. Our first news story, I won't talk about the shooting. If you guys want to talk about it, hit one on your line. I will bring you in. We'll talk about it. For those in the chat room, I may read your comments later. You can email us, but not going to talk about the Florida shooting, but in light of what happened in the Parkland, Florida, that killed 17 people this past week, the Cameron Park Firefighters Association in California was slammed for offering an AR-15 as a main raffle prize in their annual fundraiser, with many saying the timing was insensitive. Also, the South Lyon High School in Michigan canceled its charity dinner after people complained that it was rifling off an AR-15, the same gun that was used in the Florida, Parkland, Florida, killing of 17 students and wounding 14 other students. And I forgot, and a teacher. Shouldn't forget that. Now, along with that, so we have two AR-15 raffles, and now here's our third one. Third graders will raffle an AR-15 despite the backlash after their baseball coach defends a $5 a ticket fundraiser in the wake of that massacre, saying the giveaway is a positive thing. So the youth baseball team in Missouri, I guess it's Neosho, Missouri, will raffle off despite the backlash. Again, I don't think we're learning our lessons here at all. Now, back to Florida, because this is where this all started. Florida lawmakers declare porn a public health risk, but shut down the vote to ban assault weapons. Now, the bill to declare porn a public health risk passed the Florida House of Representatives on Tuesday in the same session that they were hearing. It was the same hearing session that lawmakers shut down a proposal to discuss a ban on assault rifles. So porn is a little bit more of a risk, apparently, than having an AR-15. This is your representatives at work. So, hey, I don't know what to say about that, but I just thought I'd run through that and say that. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Asprey Radio. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. For everyone on the line, I want to say hey. And if you want to hit 1 and come in, feel free at any time. You know, we're here. So, and oh, by the way, if you want to catch us in archives, it is espryradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Here we go. Now, a Republican lawmaker in New York, I think she's in the Utica area, so that's kind of towards the middle of the state, but she is facing political backlash after she claimed in a radio interview that many mass shooters tend to be Democrats. Now, Claudia Tenney said in a statement on Wednesday that she was fed up with the media and liberals attempting to politicize tragedies and demonize law-abiding gun owners and conservative Americans every time there's a horrible tragedy. She said, prior to that, it's interesting that so many of these people that commit the mass murders end up being Democrats, is what Claudia Tenney said. So, hey, she's up for re-election in a few months, so we're going to see how this goes. And, you know, she is catching backlash. But Claudia Tenney, who claims to be the female Trump, is in an area that pretty much is conservative, but I don't think it's that conservative. So, anyway, here's your politicians for you, right? Now, a Democrat snatched the Kentucky state seat from a Republican after beating the wife of the previous office holder who committed suicide following allegations of sex abuse. Now, the win by Linda Belcher, I guess it's Bullitt County, Kentucky, is seen as a triumph for a resurgence of Democrats ahead of the midterm elections, while that election was in an area where Trump scored really high. I think he won probably by 26 percentage points in 2016, but they just lost that seat to a Democrat. So if my numbers are correct, it is more than 35 plus Democrat wins to about, I think, about 6 Republican wins since 2016. 35 plus. So the Republicans, if you can't see that as a writing on the wall, I don't know what a writing on the wall technically really means. Now, special prosecutor, I guess is what he's called, Robert Mueller, indictments claim that Russian meddling, the campaign attempted to suppress the black voter turnout. Now, the claim was buried on page 18 of the 37-page indictment issued on Thursday as a part of Mueller's ongoing probe into the alleged Russian meddling of the 2016 allegations. Election. Yeah, I don't know why I'm getting that mixed up. Now, the indictment claims that in the later half of 2016, the defendants began to encourage U.S. minority groups not to vote in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or vote for a third party in U.S. presidential candidate. Mueller cites alleged Russian-controlled Instagram accounts, one called Black Woke, which posted a particular hype and hatred from Trump is misleading the people and forcing blacks to vote for Hillary. That's what it said in there. We cannot resort to the lesser of two devils. And then we'd surely be better off without voting at all, is what it said. And another Russian-controlled account called Blacktivist, hosted a Russian purchase-sponsored post urging voters to support the Green Party candidate Jill Stein. That is all inside according to the indictment. So black people were targeted by the hackers, and apparently they were targeted pretty heavy. So MSNBC's she has her own show. Joy Ann Reid was also targeted by Russian trolls. Now, Law and Crime reported that raw data indicates that 267 retweets from Reid from the Russian farm. Now, by contrast, the next highest favored pundit was Fox News' Sean Hannity, who only had a handful of Russian retweets, according to analysis. Now, as more information emerged from the probe into the Russian interference, especially on social media, it is believed that the Russian trolls tried to get in good with the black community by pretending to be black activists. So not only were they just misleading with ads and information, they were actually trying to mask as activists. One of the most successful accounts run by the Russians was one called For My Squad, which would garner hundreds of thousands of responses, reblogs, replies, and likes with every post. Most notoriously, the account created a set of GIFs from videos of a black girl being sexually assaulted by police officers, including false claims that an officer was a member of the NYPD. I guess that was supposed to fire up all the black folks if it was NYPD opposed to another police department. There is no evidence that any of the activists interacted with the Russian trolls, had knowledge of their true identities. But on Sunday, you know, Joy Reid tweeted that Russian has played this game before, pretending to empathize with the black Americans' plight as a way of playing them and stripping them of their rights. The Russian government is not our friend, none of us. That is from MSNBC's Joy Reid. But the moral of that story is she was targeted and you were targeted, people in the United States, because it wasn't just black people. It was meant to cause chaos, apparently. But that was in the indictment, so there you have it. Journalist Jemele Hill sat in on The View this week, and she set co-host Meghan McCain straight about her tweet calling Donald Trump and his administration or saying that they were surrounded by white supremacists. Now, on The View, McCain asked Hill if she stood by her tweets about Trump and his administration. She said, "I still stand by what I said. I don't think that his supporters are white supremacists. I don't think that his supporters are white supremacists. I think she said, I don't think all of his supporters are white supremacists, but that's not what the quote says. She said, what I would say, though, is that they have been a privilege and the benefit of privilege to be able to distance and disassociate themselves from certain issues, Me as a woman of color, I feel vulnerable to certain behaviors, certain politics, and certain things that he has said and done. Now, I actually watched it, and if you don't know, Jemele Hill said that called Donald Trump a white supremacist and right supremacist and said that he was surrounded by white supremacists. But she also said that if they're not, they're really playing footsies with them by Donald Trump reacting in Charlottesville or with the Charlottesville incident of saying that there was bad people on both sides and, you know, reposting stuff from the alt-right or whatever those organizations are called. So Jemele Hill kind of put Meghan McCain in her spot because she tried to use this, I guess she tried to use the argument that he has a black person in the cabinet, Ben Carson, that all of them wasn't white supremacists. And she said, she didn't say all of them. She said he's surrounded by white supremacists. So I guess she had no other words after that. But that was Jemele Hill from Undisputed on ESPN. And she also reiterated she was not fired. She chose to go back to print media so that she can give her opinion. So there you have it with Jemele Hill. Now, engineers from the University of Washington have developed a way to charge smartphones wirelessly. They can now be charged by way of laser by emitting by the laser being emitted from about 14 feet away. Now, I don't know what the safe distance is from sending beams of light, but technically 14 feet is the limit for charging your device. But, hey, and they didn't say when it's coming out, but this is engineers from the University of Washington. Now, South African veteran actor John Kanai was highly responsible for the Xhosa becoming the official language of the fictional country of Wakanda in the Black Panther movie. Now, it all started on the set of Captain America: Civil War in 2016. And by the way, Black Panther for the weekend made more than Captain America did for, I think it's Captain America. Nah. It's one of the other Marvels that they did for their whole run, where they had I think it was Captain America: Civil War. So then everybody together, you know, they did that well in the one weekend. Now, Kanai, who was playing King T'Chaka, father of King T'Challa, the same way it is on Black Panther, by the way, on the movie, he said that we had to do this scene where I had to do a conversation with my son, said the actor, during the press conference for Black Panther. He said, I was supposed to say to him, I miss you, son, and I haven't seen you in a very long time. So I asked the directors, why am I speaking English? If he's my son, we're from Wakanda. And the directors asked, what would you like to say? And he said, you know, I'm not going to try to speak Xhosa, but he spoke it. And so he said, to his surprise, it was his big surprise that Chadwick Boseman, who plays his son, responded in Xhosa back at him. And he asked, where did you learn that? And he said, when I was in Cape Town, I worked with a South African crew. So he actually surprised the guy who spoke that as a natural language. They all had to learn it, which Lupita said that it was quite a challenge because the Xhosa language is one of the hardest languages on the planet. But if you don't know, 19 million people speak Xhosa. I can't remember if it's pronounced Xhosa or just Xhosa. I think that's for short. But anyway, and by the way, in Captain America, I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess Chadwick, I think his actual real son, John Kanai's son, was in the movie with him. That's why he spoke it directly to his son, because the son in the movie was his actual son. But Chadwick actually did a great job. And again, if you get a chance, go see the movie. It'll be worth anything that you pay for. And I guarantee you, you'll want to see it again. It's a really good movie. Now, police say Lauren Stewart, 45, shot and killed her husband, Daniel, who's 47, with their kids, Stephen, 27, and Bethany, 24, before turning the gun on herself. Now, the bodies of the four family members were found inside their Kegel Harbor, Michigan home on Friday. Friends said that the Stewarts had been shunned by the Jehovah's Witnesses after leaving 5 years ago. The Stewarts reportedly wanted to send their kids to college, which was banned by the group, and friends speculated that the isolation from the shunning may have been what caused Lauren to snap and kill her loved ones. But in other news, you know, that is also out there. Now, Susan Mizey, who's 17, was arrested in Montgomery County, Texas, on aggravated robbery charges after she believed to have set up her own father by two other teens on Friday night. So there you have it in Menendez news once again. Now, an Ohio boy, 17, is jailed for 4 years in an adult prison after plotting a mass shooting at his school, which included shopping list of weapons and detailed maps. So John Staley, the third, 17, was sentenced to 4 years in an adult prison for his plot to mass shoot Hilliard Davidson High School in Columbus, Ohio. And that was in 2016. So he's just being brought to trial. Now, a Georgia child psychologist is arrested for molesting a 9-year-old girl after he posted a picture of the sick attack on his client online. Now, Atlanta child psychologist Jonathan Gersh, who's 37, has been accused of molesting the 9-year-old. And he really posted it on the internet, but I'm not going to do any more of that story. Now, I just want everybody, do you listen to Esprinet News? You know, we haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to go straight to This Week in Court. Now, let me see if I have some bed music for This Week in Court. We have not done that in a while. And I'm sure we're going to, what's the word I'm looking for? We're going to probably have a abbreviated show today, but I want to make sure I get This Week in Court in. So we'll play a little bit of one of that. All right, This Week in Court. All right, now in court, the U.S. population of Mexican wolves in the wild grew by one last year, from 113 to 114. That's according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Like, that's far fewer than the 750 wild wolves that environments say that they need to sustain the species. So if you're wondering, you know, we don't have a lot of Mexican wolves in the U.S. This is actually in court, by the way. So the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court set the stage this week for the state to dismiss, as soon as next week, thousands of drug convicts tainted by a disgraced former chemist, Sonia Farik. So apparently that person planted evidence, or they had bad evidence on the people. So thousands of drug convictions were tainted. A lot of people are going to get out of jail. Now, also, a 23-year-old Missouri man was federally charged Wednesday with bringing guns and a machete to a suburban high school in St. Louis, Missouri. All right, now, Dr. Solomon Melgen, a retinal specialist in Palm Beach County, Florida, was sentenced Thursday to 17 years in prison and ordered to pay $42.6 million on charges that he bilked Medicaid out of $73 million over two decades. $73 million over two decades. So that is, you know, again, we wouldn't be complaining about Medicare and Medicaid fraud if we can get rid of people who are, well, not fraud, but we wouldn't be complaining about those programs if the people who were committing the fraud got arrested. So, $73 million. All right. Now, he's ordered to only pay back $42 million, though. See, I never understood that. White-collar crime is a whole nother world. Now, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is facing $5 million federal complaint from a former city official who says blowing the whistle on corruption got him fired. So I don't know if this happened under the de Blasio administration or the one prior, but they're now in court to try to sort this out. So I want to thank you for listening to This Week in Court. You know, we haven't gotten to it in a while. I could do a lot more court stories, but we're going to let that ride for today. That was This Week in Court. All right. Now, remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can always email us or hit us up in chat. I'll see what it is, what we're going to put out there, but hey, we can always do that. Now, Justin Forsythe said that he resigned from Save the Children with a heavy heart after apologizing unreservedly for sending the offending text messages commenting on how colleagues looked and what they were wearing. So Mr. Forsythe admitted on Tuesday that he engaged in unsuitable and thoughtless conversations with three young female members of the staff while he was chief executive of Save the Children in the UK from 2010 to 2016. He said that I am resigning because of the danger of damaging both UNICEF and Save the Children and our wider cause. Now, the two organizations I truly love and cherish, I can't let this happen. So if you don't remember the stories last week or the week before, that these organizations were also caught in scandal with the workers engaging with prostitutes and some other stuff. But it's all mixed in the same scandal now. The head of the organization, Save the Children UK, has now resigned, Justin Forsythe. Now, Oxfam, which is, I think it's a charity out of, I don't know, South America, maybe Brazil, but it's South America, Argentina, I think. So Oxfam workers suspected of sexual misconduct in Haiti intimidated and threatened a witness as the charity investigated the original claims, as according to the organization's report on the inquiry, on the internal inquiry. Now, the findings were a part of a previous confidential report released by Oxfam and on Monday as the charity responded to newspaper stories suggesting that it covered up allegations that seven employees used prostitutes on the charity's property while working in Haiti after the 2010 earthquake that devastated the country. Now, Oxfam report shows that the investigation was triggered by an email alleging that staff members in Haiti had violated the organization's code of conduct by using prostitutes in their guest houses and engaged in fraud, nepotism, and neglect. Now, not only did they hold food and supplies, they actually blackmailed them for sexual acts as well. So if they wanted a tarp or something or even food, they actually held, like, this is a charity, they actually held that over the head of the people in Haiti for sexual favors. All right, that's that story. Now, a disgraced ex-Arkansas judge who's 72 is sentenced to 5 years in prison after granting leniency to young male defendants in return for sexual favors. Now, Joseph Beckman's lawyer had wanted home detention for the broken ailing man, is what they called him, while prosecutors recommended a 3-year prison term. Now, a federal judge in Arkansas opted for a stiffer penalty of 5 years, which included $50,000 in a fine and 3 years of supervised release, because they said that he obstructed justice while he was at it. Now, so a judge did get 5-year prison sentence while they wanted to let him off. And they actually wanted home detention. Okay. Now, Ford, the automotive company, Ford North America president, admits to inappropriate behavior and resigns after anonymous complaint that his company's 24-hour hotline, Ford North America president, Raj Nair, admitted to his actions, and he said he have not always been, consistent with Ford's values, and he resigned his post on Wednesday for inappropriate behavior. But again, someone called into the 24-hour hotline, and he resigned. Now, a group of South Korean tourists hid blocks of gold in their butt, I guess I can say it that way, to avoid taxes. Now, 7 would-be smugglers were caught at customs at the Japanese airport last month. I don't know why that is funny to me, but it's just kind of in crazy news. Also, you know what's on the rise in surgery? Belly button plastic surgery. It has doubled in recent years. So experts are saying this is due to social media and people being more aware of their body. So unlike all the other surgery you can have, people are actually paying a lot of money to have surgery on their belly button to look like other entertainers, by the way. But this is what we're doing. All right, now, a furious wife hacked off her husband's Johnson, if you don't know what that means, Johnson and his two friends, and flushed him down the toilet after accusing him of having an affair in India. Now, the guy was left, I'm not going to even say his name, was left in serious condition in the hospital after bleeding profusely following the attack on the family and their home in northern India. So, you know. There we have it. I know, it just seems like that would be just crazy news. Now, you know, you're listening to Esprit Dat News. You know, I kind of figured we'd give you an abbreviated program today, but just wanted to put that out there. Hey to everyone on the line. Hey to everyone in the chat. Just wanted to keep you up to date and give you some news and not cancel the show today. So just wanted to give you something to roll with. Now, in our last story, a wife divorced her husband in Dubai because he charged her $150 every time she asked him for a ride. Now, the unemployed husband from Dubai told his wife the fee was because the time he spent chauffeuring her around was keeping him away from his friends. On that note, I'm going to say goodnight. All right, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Esprit Net News. Check us out next week at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on BTR. You can go to espritradio.solasyracuse.com, or, you know, you can save it. Download Esprit Radio to iTunes. Hey, we're on BTR. Come find us. All right, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Esprit Net News.